usually when we move from one sefer to another within the context of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, we often demonstrate the connection that exists between the sefer itself and its next sefer that follows. So it would be logical for us to demonstrate the connection between Sefer Bereshit and Sefer Shemot, as many of the Mefarshim do. The Ramban talks extensively about this. But I'd like to actually point out that here we have a unique situation where there seems to be a constant and a consistent, a theme that remains constant, that demonstrates a connection between last week's Haftarah of Parshat Vayechi and the beginning of this week's Sefer, this week's Parsha of Shemot. David HaMelech in last week's Haftarah, very briefly, calls or summons upon his son Shlomo, who would assume the reign of the kingdom following his death, following his departure from this world. And he tells his son Shlomo, in a moment of truth, he reveals to him what seems to be the most precious of advice. He says, "V'chazakta ve'ayita la'ish, be strong and be a man." Rav Kushelevsky points out, what kind of advice is this to tell his child Shlomo, who's going to assume the mantle of leadership of Klal Yisrael? Why tell him to be strong and to be a man? Well, obviously he's going to be a man. He's assuming that position. He grows into it naturally. And Rav Kushelevsky points out, that's necessarily so. David recognizes that to be a successful leader, to be successful in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you first have to be successful amongst the people. Before you go on to pursue righteousness and fame and glory and to pursue what seems to be piety, a person has to be first a man, a human being, a decent, common person who is compassionate and sensitive to those around him. Well, we see that while David seems to introduce this prerequisite to Shlomo, it seems to be a prerequisite as well to Moshe's ascension to leadership, as we see in this week's Parsha. The Torah wants us to realize that Moshe's development, and anyone's development for that matter, is a gradual one. We evolve in our spirituality as we relate to mankind, which eventually evolves into greater understanding and appreciation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kevyachol Hashem Himself. In Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah tells us, Vayehi bayamim ahem, vayigdal Moshe, vayetzei el echav, vayar besivlotam. Moshe in those days grows older, he goes out to his brethren. Vayar besivlotam. He sees their pain. Rashi says, Natan einav vilibo lihiyot meitzar aleihem. Moshe placed his eyes and his heart together with the Jewish people, and he felt their pain. He was emphatic with them. He empathized and sympathized with them. He felt and understood exactly what they were going through. And interestingly enough, after it says that Moshe relates to Am Yisrael, to the people around him, Ve'ifen ko v'cho, it appears to be the next day, he looks around himself, Vayar ki ein ish, he sees there is no one, he hits the Mitzri, and we all know the story, he hides this Egyptian in the ground, so as not to be caught. The next day, Vayetze Bayom HaSheni, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he goes out in the second day or the following day, V'hinei Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim, Vayomer LaRasha Lama Takereyecha. He sees two Jews, Rashi says, Datan V'Aviram, who are fighting with one another. And it pains Moshe again. Moshe cannot control himself. It bothers him to no end that two people would hit each other, would fight with each other, would quarrel. And therefore he calls to them, why are you fighting? And they say to him, Misamcha le'ish sar v'shofet aleinu. Who made you the judge? Who made you the decision maker with regards to justice? Halargeni ata omer kasher haratet ha-mitzri. Would you kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? The simple understanding of what's going on here is that they're calling Moshe's bluff. Leave us alone, they say. We know what you did yesterday. Why don't you be on your way? But perhaps there is a deeper understanding and appreciation of what's going on here. Misamcha le'ish. They say to Moshe the simple understanding. Who made you our leader? Who appointed you? But Moshe, from their statement or their challenge, receives greater revelation, greater understanding. Because the Torah says immediately after they say this to him, Vayira Moshe, Vayomar Achein Noda HaDavar. Moshe is filled with fright. Moshe is fearful. And he says, yes, it is known. What does this mean? The simple understanding is that Moshe is afraid that they'll reveal what he had done to Paro. That he'll be either thrown out of Egypt or even killed by Paro. But let us appreciate, perhaps Moshe is experiencing something greater here. Vayira Moshe. Moshe says, you know what? You're right. I, mankind, are not the ones to judge our fellow man. But who really is above us? Moshe says there must be greater reason, greater rhyme, a greater force, i.e. what he eventually would recognize to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is responsible for our lives, who is responsible for justice, who is responsible for demonstrating that there are consequences to our actions in this world. Vayira Moshe. Moshe is filled with the first time in which he experiences yirah, true fear, fear of God, the God that he did not know yet, but that soon he would come to know very well. And the Torah says, Achein noda hadavar. Moshe reacts by saying, ah, it is known. Says Rashi, noda li hadavar shaiti tama alav. Machato Yisrael, machato Yisrael mikoshi bimumot, liot nirdim ba'avodat parech. Rashi says that Moshe was talking philosophy. Moshe asked himself, now I understand a little bit why these people are being punished, why they have been enslaved for so many years and persecuted so downtroddenly. Now I understand, says Moshe, because they do not know how to behave to one another. And therefore it seems fittingly that they should be punished as such. What Rashi reveals to us is that indeed Moshe was going through great introspect. He wasn't really merely making a statement that now it's known that I slew one of the Egyptians. No. The fear that he had grasped now was the fear of God. The fear that he has now is that he hasn't completely attained or grasped the full meaning of life. Achein noda davar. Now, says Moshe, I know that there is greater meaning to life. There is a purpose. There is a being above me who is responsible, who watches over us, who gives us freedom of choice. And therefore Moshe flees Egypt. Fleeing Egypt for Moshe is a statement that he knows there is greater meaning and purpose in this world. Vayira Moshe, vayomer achein noda hadavar. Only because Moshe relates to his fellow man, because he feels their pain, he is given the moment of revelation by which he realizes, I must pursue greater and more meaningful existence. And the storyline follows the same theme. Moshe runs off, we all know the story. He runs to this Be'er, to Midian, and he comes across, he's sitting on this what appears to be a well. And the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayavo'u haro'im vayigarshum. Shepherds come along and they chase the daughters of Yitro away. Vayakom Moshe vayoshian. Moshe gets up, he saves the girls, he is compassionate to people in need. He realizes that these girls are being tormented. Vayoshian, he saves them. Vayashk etzonam. Not only does he save his fellow human beings, but he feeds their cattle as well. He gives them to drink. Again, the Torah demonstrates that Moshe is compassionate. Moshe sensitizes himself to his surroundings. He is aware of people who are in need. And then, interestingly enough, the Torah continues. Pasuk Yudchet. The girls run away. They flee to their father, Yitro. Torah calls him Reuel. Vayomer says Yitro to his daughters, Madua mihartin bohayom. Why are you here so quickly? Vatomarna, they say, Ish mitzri hitzilanu miyarahoim. A man saved us from being tormented by these shepherds. Not only that, he gave to our cattle to drink as well. And what is Yitro's reaction, Rabbi Shai? Vayomer el benotav ve'ayo. Yitro says, and where is he now? Lama ze'azavten et ha'ish. Kireno lo v'yochal lechem. Yitro says to his daughters, not in the simple understanding, why'd you leave him? Call him and let's have dinner. No! He's telling them, my daughters, here is someone who is compassionate and sensitive. Where were your manners? Where is your sensitivity? Says Yitro, I call myself Kohen Midian, a high priest, a man of the cloth, a man of God. My dear daughters, recognizing God, embracing religiosity begins with sensitivity to man. And therefore he challenges his daughters. He reprimands them. Why'd you leave this fellow behind? At least let him in. A schnorrer comes to the door Sunday afternoon begging for money. Do we have to grimace? Do we have to greet him with distaste on our face? Do we have to throw him the $5 and tell him to move on? Or do we ask him, are you tired? Are you hungry? Do you want something to drink? It doesn't matter if there's mud on your boots. Why don't you come inside and sit down for a minute? Thinking to ourselves how degrading it must be to have to knock on people's doors in order to be self-sufficient. Very difficult. What Yitro tells his daughters is what Moshe revealed to us already that he begins to understand. Religiosity, spirituality, begins with humanity. It begins with understanding and comprehending our fellow man. And interestingly enough, this perek concludes with what would seem to be a very unexpected and unforeseen few psukim. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, after the Torah tells us that Moshe had a son, Gershom, pasuk yud gimel kof gimel, vayehi bayamim arabim ahem, vayamat melech Mitzrayim, vayeyanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah vayizaku. B'nei Yisrael scream. They call to God above because they are in such a state of depression, of persecution. Va'ta'al shabatam el ha'elokim min ha'avodah. And their calls and their cries are heard by God. Va'yishma elokim et na'akatam. God hears his man. Va'yar elokim et b'nei Yisrael. Va'yeda elokim. Va'yar elokim. God sees B'nai Yisrael. Is this to be understood that God simply sees B'nai Yisrael? God melocho la'aretz kibodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, who is the all-able, who can understand, comprehend, and incorporate everything. He sees Bnei Yisrael. This seeing of Bnei Yisrael is the same seeing that Moshe has with Bnei Yisrael. Lahavdil. Vayar besivlotam. Vayeda Elokim. Vayar Elokim. Moshe places his eyes and his heart with his people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol here places his eyes and heart with his people as well. Why is this placed at the end of this perek? Because this perek is the perek, the portion of the Torah that demonstrates that the path to God begins with the path through man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gushpanka, his seal of approval at the end of the perek, by saying, Moshe will begin his leadership by first understanding his fellow man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends the perek, the Torah tells us, by relating to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sympathizes with man. The greatest, biggest force, nucleus, and roots of spirituality begin with the roots of humanity. And therefore it follows, in Perek Gimel, immediately after this display of compassion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to his people, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, U'Moshe haya ro'e etzon yitro chotno kohen midyan. Moshe is a shepherd. Vayira malach Hashem elav. An angel of God appears to Moshe. Belabat esh mitoch hasne. Inside this bush that is not consumed by flames. Vayar Hashem kisar lirot vayikra elav Elokim mitoch hasne. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon Moshe from within the nucleus of the bush. Now God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe will assume the position of Rabban Shel Yisrael, leader, mentor, guide, great rabbi of Am Yisrael. Only after he has sensitized himself to people, now God is prepared to reveal himself, capital H, to Moshe Rabbeinu, his chosen leader for the future of Am Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you, Moshe, have proven that you are worthy of empathy, that you are worthy of sympathizing with one another. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now it is time that I reveal to you that purpose, that v'yira Elokim, that v'yira, the yira that you experienced back in Egypt. God says, now I'll reveal it to you, because you have indeed demonstrated to me the most valued characteristic and attribute of leadership, that you understand, that you love and care for the people around you. The last few weeks, I was terribly distraught by two articles that were published by a Rav, who will go unnamed of course, but a very well-known big Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, considered to be one of the leaders of the Olam Dati Atzioni, the religious Zionist world. And I was upset because what he did in one of his articles was he compared Yosef, which you read about 2 weeks ago, in the last few weeks, Yosef was compared to the Mitnachalim, to what we call today the settlers, the modern day Chalutzim, the pioneers who go out and establish Yishuvim, communities, throughout the land of Eretz Yisrael. And this rabbi wanted to say that Yosef was an innovative thinker, was a free thinker, and so too the Mitnachalim, the settlers of today. He called them the Anshei Yamin, the right-wingers. And he said, they are the tzaddikim. He is Yosef HaTzaddik. He is Yosef the righteous. They are the righteous people as well. And he said Yosef was hated by his brothers. He said, you see, the same thing evolves today as well. Vast amount of the population in Eretz Yisrael, he called them the small, the left. They also hate the settlers of today. Just like Yosef's brothers hated him, so too the people of today hate the real idealists of Eretz Yisrael, the settlers, the right. And I want to tell you, I was upset about this, because while I do agree what the settlers do, the Anshei Yamin, so to speak, the right wingers, what they might stand for, and how they demonstrate their action and dedication to Eretz Yisrael is noteworthy and praiseworthy. But must we acknowledge their ideology by comparing and denoting other people? Must we always talk about how great a group of people are by degrading and lowering the other group of people? This can only nurture hatred. This contrasting difference that was attempted to be created by this Rav only nurtures conflict. It only nurtures a barrier that we so do not need in our time in Eretz Yisrael and in Am Yisrael. Last week's Aseret B'Tevet commemorate the beginning of the fall of the temple, the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us one of the reasons why it evolved was because of Sinat Chinam, which is hatred for one another, let alone a lack of appreciation for one another. And there was no reason, as far as I was concerned, for this article to be written. It only promotes a distaste, a lack of respect, something that we have enough of. It certainly doesn't need to be nurture and fester in the heart of Am Yisrael. And then he wrote a second article this past week. The rabbi said that with regards to, is there a position or should there be a position of rabbis in politics? And he said, undoubtedly yes. He said, rabbis are involved in Torah. And when Torah comes in contact with politics or political positions or the positions of a government or Eretz Yisrael or whatnot, then the rabbi has to stand up and voice his opinion. He has to be involved in that process because politics, he said, very often comes in contact with positions of Torah. And I say to such a thing that this is not necessarily true. I was very disturbed at this type of article that was being written. Just the opposite. Is there room for us to entertain the fact that indeed there is a place for politics in the same statement of Torah? Politics that we know of today represent injustice. The politics that we know of today is insulting. There is no room whatsoever to utter in the same breath the word Torah and the word politics. They not only are contrasting in ideology, if it exists in the world of politics, but they stand for something completely unrelated. The Torah stands for us relating to one another, for us sympathizing with the people around us, understanding and appreciating the people within our midst. And politics certainly today does not stand for that. Politics is far, far from an agenda of what is greatest for the people around me, but rather it stands for an agenda of what is greatest within my own self-value, my own agenda, as opposed to that of the nation and the people who need me. Politics today is dirty. It's false. It's derogatory. Certainly it has nothing to do with my relationship with my fellow man. And therefore I have to say that rabbis should have nothing to do with the politics of today. There's enough work to do without being associated in the political scene. Reb Chaim Ibrisk was once asked, what is the main function of a rabbi in our day and age? Many people know how to read Svarim. They could look up the halacha and the Shulchan Aruch almost themselves. So if the rabbi is not paskening halacha, what is the main function of a rabbi? And Rabbi Chaim Bebrisk said, the function of a rabbi is to make himself available and to be sensitive to his kehila, to their needs, to be a person of chesed, of loving and gratuitous kindness. That is the job of a rabbi. Rav Unterman, who is the Rabbi Rashi, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael before Rav Gorin, was quoted as having said, the difference between rabbis in Eretz Yisrael and rabbis in the United States. Rabbis in the United States have no power and a tremendous amount of influence. Rabbis in Eretz Yisrael have a tremendous amount of power, but they have no influence. We need rabbis today, rabbanim, leaders, Moshe Rabban Shel Yisrael, who are more influential and who have influence on people. That is what we need. And the only way to do that is to walk through the path of humanity, to understand what people need around us. I have seen rabbis, rabbanim, who are not the greatest of speakers, not the greatest of darshanim, who don't necessarily have the privilege of giving the sleepless sermon on OU Radio, but they are loved and revered and embraced by their kehilot, by their congregations. Why? For one reason only. Because they love the people around them. Because the people know they can count on their compassion and sensitivity. And that is precisely what Jewish leadership represents. Because the only way to become the London, to become the great Darshan, to become the great scholar in this world, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to relate to depths of spirituality, Moshe teaches us the only way to arrive at that path is by first being sensitive and going through the path of the people around us. And therefore, the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through the veins of humanity. When we understand this, and when we comprehend its great meaning of how it could have such great effects, not only on our development, but on our effect, the development of the people around us. When we understand that we have to be compassionate and sensitive to the people around us, then we'll be zoche mirtz Hashem to have greater revelation and understanding and appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence as well. Shabbat Shalom. When Hashem sends Moshe to save Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim, Moshe is not convinced that it could happen. He says, "Vehem lo ya'aminu li." The Jewish people might not listen to me. He was concerned. Why was Moshe concerned? God sent him after all. God promised that he would deliver the Jewish people. Why did Moshe doubt that Bnei Yisrael would listen to him? Shabbat Shalom.